The first reading this morning is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each one of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God.'" The next reading is from Leviticus 19:11-18. "Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate the fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now the third one is from Leviticus 24:17-22. "Anyone who takes the life of a human being is to be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of somebody's animals must make restitution, life for life. Anyone who injures his neighbor or is injured in the same manner, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted injury must suffer the same injury. Whoever kills an animal must make restitution, but whoever kills a human being is to be put to death. You are to have the same law for the foreigner and the native born. I am the Lord your God." Now the next reading is from Matthew chapter 5, 33-42. "Again, you heard it said by the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill the law of the vows you have made.' But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head. You cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to simply say is yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard it said, 'Eye for eye, tooth for tooth.' But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If one slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." There ends the reading.
We're currently doing a series on the teachings of Jesus, and over the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at the section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus properly interprets sections of the law. Jesus is contrasting his understandings of the law with those of the Jewish religious leaders. Jesus starts each of his teachings on the law by saying something like, "You have heard that it was said." And this is not challenging the law, but rather Jesus is contrasting, as I said, his understanding with the interpretation of the Jewish religious leaders. Over the past 2 weeks, we have looked at murder and adultery. We see that Jesus is concerned in both cases with what is going on in someone's heart, as well as their outward actions and words. Jesus is looking at the deeper intent of God's law, and this week is no different. Today we're going to be looking at two short teachings of Jesus, one on oaths and the other on seeking payback for being wronged. You will notice, if you've got the Bible in front of you, that we've actually skipped over two verses. And these two verses are on divorce. And this is because we will be coming back to this when we get to Jesus' more substantial teachings on divorce. And we'll just add these couple of verses into what Jesus says there. So Jesus begins this section on oaths saying, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all. And then later on, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Okay, this is referring to the third commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of Yahweh your God. And this is expanded on in our Bible reading that we heard from Leviticus 19, 11 to 18. In this section of Leviticus, God is outlining further details of his commandments. So we hear things like, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another, and do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. So what we have here are rules for using oaths. Now, what is an oath? Oaths, of course, are not as prevalent today as they were in Jesus' day, and in fact, before written contracts became commonplace. But oaths took the place of what we now have as written contracts. One party would make a promise and swear by it, invoking something greater than themselves. God as the creator is clearly the greatest thing someone could swear by. So if you really wanted to make a guarantee that you wouldn't break your promise, then you would swear by God. Now we know that making oaths was a slippery subject in Jesus' day, because in Matthew 23, 16 to 22, we see how people were trying to get out of the oaths they made. Jesus says, woe to you blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple which makes the gold sacred? You say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind man, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. What seems to be the official teaching of the religious leaders is that only swearing by particular things was a binding oath. One could pretend to make an oath by swearing by something not quite as important as God, and then weasel out of that oath and not be breaking the third commandment. Kind of like having fine print at the end of a contract document which states that the other party can break the contract at any time. So this is the situation Jesus is speaking into. People are using oaths not to make promises binding, but to deceive. Now, as we can see by what Jesus says in Matthew 23, 16 to 22, Jesus isn't altogether against making oaths, because his problem with oaths in this passage is not with making them, but with using them to make false promises. Jesus is saying here that any oath you make is binding. There is no such thing as an unbinding oath. So as we come back now to the Matthew 5 passage, Jesus also alludes to these false promise oaths people were making. You couldn't swear falsely by invoking God's name, but what about heaven, or the earth, or Jerusalem, or your head? All of these things seem like lofty things to swear by, but not expressly prohibited by the third commandment. And much like Matthew 23, Jesus reveals how swearing by any of these things is to be swearing in God's name. Heaven is God's throne, the earth is God's footstool, Jerusalem is God's city and he is king of it, and there is no point swearing by your own head. You can't even make the hairs on your head change colour if you break your oath. The Jewish religious authorities had missed the point of the third commandment. The third commandment is about honesty. God wants people to be honest. And if anyone thinks about oaths, an oath is actually only as good as the person who makes it. If an honest person makes an oath, it's worth something. But if a dishonest person makes an oath, it is to deceive and it has no value. And so Jesus says, look, making oaths, it's really of no value. Just be a person who, when they say yes, it means yes, and when you say no, it means no. And the idea of honesty is what Leviticus makes clear. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back wages of the hired man. Do not curse the deaf, who of course can't hear you curse. And don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind, who of course can't see it. Do not pervert justice or show partiality or favoritism, but judge fairly. Do not spread slander and do not do anything that endangers someone's life. Do not hate someone in your heart and do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. All of these things make it abundantly clear that what God seeks for his people is for them to be good neighbors to each other and to be honest people. So Jesus says, look, forget about making oaths. People do that to make false promises. So they're making oaths to be a thing of the devil. Just be an honest person in your dealings with people. Your yeses be yes and your noes be no. And then Jesus continues on with his next teaching. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Now this teaching can be found in Exodus, and it comes shortly after the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 21, 12 to 36. And in this section, Moses is outlining how inflicted personal injuries will be dealt with in that ancient Jewish community. And in Exodus 21, 23, we read that Moses sets out that if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and bruise for bruise. So what we have here are rules for governing a society and judicial guidelines. In a society, you need deterrence to stop willfully evil people and unruly people from committing terrible crimes against others. Every society needs this, law and order. And this is what Exodus sets out here. And what is instituted is the idea of equal justice for crimes committed, rather than, say, revenge. No one is permitted to get revenge on a fellow Israelite citizen or on anyone who lives in Israel. Rather, the case must be heard by a magistrate, and where a person is convicted of a crime, equal punishment for the injury is remedied. Now, in many cultures, there is a payback system which is based more on revenge, and it escalates the violence and injuries which are caused. But this is not what God gives Israel. They are to only seek justice. And this is then reiterated in slightly different words in our Bible reading that we heard from Leviticus 24:17 to 22. Again, this is for the judicial system and to maintain social order. But what happened is that instead of this law being used to limit reprisal for crimes committed, the Jewish religious leaders taught that this means that every offense, no matter how small, ought to be dealt with in this way. It should be remedied by this principle, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. There is no slight too small that should not have been dealt with in this way. And so in this context, Jesus is speaking into. Now, the Greek word translated to resist in English, it probably is, again, the best word to approximate the Greek word. But it actually meant to resist with military conflict. So it's kind of like, another word would be, don't resist combatively. Don't be a combative person. And the Greek phrase also reveals that the resisting of the evil person is meant in the way of not setting yourself against them as a person, to then see them as your enemy, as someone to get payback on. So Jesus is saying, if someone does something to wrong you, don't become combative and see them as your enemy and seek to get payback for what they have done to you. In fact, be kind to them. Give them more than they were asking for. And so Jesus gives three examples so that we know what he's talking about. The first is being insulted. Now, being slapped on the right cheek was a great insult of disrespect. It's the kind of thing people naturally get affronted by and desire to get someone back for. But Jesus says, don't slap them back. Don't seek to slap them back. But offer them your other cheek. Show them that you're okay that they insulted you. You don't hate them for it. You still love them. And if they want to do it again, they can. So think about what this shows. Someone's just insulted you, and you say, that's okay. You can insult me again. So it shows that you don't see this person as your enemy, that you're going to continue to love them. It shows an attitude of not overcoming evil with evil, but evil with good and love. And of course, this is a principle that Paul explicitly sets out in Romans 12:21, where Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And see, it also disempowers the person who is trying to hurt you. They thought they were doing this to get at you. But you clearly aren't perturbed by it. So the first example is personal insult. The second is using legal measures to take items of personal property from you. And here Jesus says, if someone sues you for your tunic, they're going to go through all that trouble of suing you, using the full extent of the law to sue you for your tunic. Just give them your cloak as well. Now, of course, the tunic was the undergarment that people wore, and the cloak was the outer garment. I'm fairly certain you're not allowed to sue people for their outer garment, their cloak, because that's what kept them warm. He says, if they want one, look, just give them the other. The third example is if someone forces you to go 1 mile. Now, this was a part of the Roman occupation. Roman soldiers could force someone to carry their pack for 1 mile. It's also the same word here that is used for the one who has to carry the cross for Jesus, who gets taken in. It's the same word. Time. So this is like a mild form of oppression. Jesus says, look, if they do this, don't just go the 1 mile, go 2. It's okay. Maybe for the 2nd mile you become friends with the person. Now notice that none of these examples are serious life-threatening situations. They are slights. Someone just being difficult or exercising a bit of power over you. Jesus is saying, look, don't use the judicial justice standard of eye for eye and tooth for tooth as a justification to go tit for tat with someone. Don't see them as your enemy and don't be looking for an opportunity to get payback. And then Jesus finishes off his teaching with, look, just be a generous person anyway. Give to people in need and allow people to borrow things from you. Don't be so stingy with what you have and what you own. Now, one thing to notice is that this attitude of turning the other cheek, allowing someone to sue you for something that you own and walking the extra mile, these are not without limits. Otherwise, if they were, Jesus would have actually broken his own rules here. Because in John 18:22, when Jesus is arrested and is struck on the cheek, he does not turn the other cheek. He challenges the reason for why he was struck. The same can be said for the second example. This is not without limit. This is about someone who is willing to use that full extent of the law just to gain some advantage over you. And that you don't engage in like kind. But this doesn't extend to all legal situations. When Paul is confronted by evil men wanting to have him wrongfully imprisoned, he resists most strongly, even making use of his ability to appeal to Caesar. So it's important not to overextend what Jesus means here when he says, do not resist an evil person. He's not saying, let an evil person murder your family without doing anything about it. Which is why we have three examples to show what Jesus is getting at. Basically, don't seek to get people back for every little to moderate thing they do to you. Don't see them as your enemy and be nice and loving to them, despite how they have treated you. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so in these two teachings, Jesus shows us that we are to be people of good character, who are open and honest in our dealings, and that Christ's followers are to be generous towards all people as we can be, which includes generosity of spirit towards those who insult and offend us. Not seeing them as our enemy, but treating them with love and with kindness, no matter how they have treated us. Amen.